Matthew 11:28. If you have your Bibles or if you're taking notes. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the first verse, it says, come to me, all who are weary. Come to me. Come to me. Have you ever been invited to a birthday party? Like, no. No, of course you have. If anything, your own birthday party, I would hope. And they're like, what do they tell you? To come, right? To come to my birthday party. Come to my birthday party. And this, in the same way, when Jesus says, come to me, it's an invitation. Jesus invites us to come to him. Jesus invites us to come to him. When we get an invitation to an event, if it's a dear friend or a close friend, we usually go, right? We usually go. We usually don't make some lame excuse like, I need to brush my cat, right? We don't make a lame excuse up. If a close friend of ours invites us to an event, invites us to a party, we're usually like, yeah, I'll show up. Why? Because you care about that person, right? You have a relationship with that person. Or if we can't go for some circumstance, not like brushing a cat, but like something serious, right? We let them know. We're not just trying to make an excuse, right? The very same friend wants us to come. So we get an invitation, we want to come, but think about that friend is saying come because they want you to come, right? And Jesus in this passage is saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What is this invitation to? When Jesus says, come to me, he's inviting us to himself. That is the biggest event you can have in your life, is coming to Jesus. Is coming to him. That's the most important event in your life. And he should be the closest and dearest friend in your life. Amen? Everybody say, invitation.
Invitation.
Come is an invitation to him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. An invitation to himself. And for who is this invitation for? Like right now, a bunch of us seem a little tired, right? I know, two services, man. More glory, double portion, come on. But it says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. Heavy burden. Have you ever felt heavy burdened with something? Have you ever had something on your mind that just weighs you down? Have you ever had someone say something to you and you're like, man, I do not feel good after they said that to me. Oh, I do not feel good after I acted that way or they acted that way. I do not feel good when they did this to me. Or I have this circumstance, I'm not doing well in school, my money's kind of low, I have all this going on. And like you feel heavy burden, I have to worry about so much. Right? Or weary, have you ever felt weary? What is weary? That means when you're working, worrying, like you're working and you're worried and you're just exhausted. You're just like, I'm done with life, I'm done, I'm done. I'm going to sit on the couch, eat my chips and I'm done. Like weary. Weary with thinking. Maybe you're weary and tired in your mind. That is very possible. If you constantly overthink, you become exhausted emotionally and mentally. And this is an invitation for all of those people who are weary, who are tired, who have a burden on themselves. And it's an invitation. Why does he invite us to this? Why does he invite us to himself? When we're heavy laden and burdened. Because if you're heavy laden and burdened and you're weary, you need what? You need Jesus. But what do you need?
Rest.
You need rest. When you're tired, You go to sleep. You need rest, right? We all need rest in our lives, not just physically, but for our souls as well. We must live in a place of rest from our souls. Amen? So right here it says, come to me. Say, come to me. All who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Say, rest. He gives us this invitation that it may refresh us and calm us to stop our striving. What does striving look like? Striving looks like you're trying really hard to achieve something. That's what striving is. Striving is taking the plow and go, 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 right? It's working really hard to try to achieve something. But we need refreshment and to stop striving. The thing is, we cannot strive to make ourselves righteous. You can't strive to that. You have to live from righteousness because it's given to you. It's like I give you a gift and you're like, let me work for that. Let me work for that before you give it to me. No, like just take the gift and start using it, right? And Jesus gives us the righteousness and he's like, live from that righteousness. This is not a righteousness you can earn by yourself. This is not something that you can be a goody two shoes and you're righteous. This is a righteousness you must accept from me and live from. Because your self-righteousness is dirty rags before the Lord. Why? Because as soon as you try to do something well and you're trying it on your own strength, there comes a time and you mess up. Amen? We all mess up. That's okay to admit. We're being humble. Right? Where and how? So first is what? An invitation to himself. For who? For all who are labor and weary and heavy laden. Why? To get rest. Where and how? He himself is your rest. Jesus is your place of rest. You know, sometimes we get heavy laden or burdened and we start going to other things for rest, trying to find rest. Trying to find rest. And then we feel rested for a while, but then it starts again. Man, I feel weary again. Man, I feel toiled again. Oftentimes we feel like we have to do, but we need to rest in what he has already done. We feel like we do, but we have to actually rest in what he's already done. Amen? When life is coming at us and we feel exhausted, overwhelmed, worried, frustrated, heavy burden, with whatever it may be, sin, situations, what do we come to? What do we go to cope to? Do we go and like start eating a lot? That's something people do, is eat a lot. I'm going to get a tub of ice cream and this is going to be gone. Some people go to other people. Some people just get away, like, I'm just going to Netflix all this and I don't even want to think about life right now. See, there's so many other things that are inviting you to come. Netflix is like, come watch me, come watch me. Ice cream is like, come eat me, come eat me. Right? There's so many things that invite us to come because they offer some kind of relief, some kind of refreshment, some kind of rest, right? But Jesus is the only one who can give you true rest, eternal rest, right? You'll be fine. Like resting in your own wisdom. You can come to your own wisdom. Your own wisdom is inviting you. Your own self-righteousness is inviting you. It's like, come to me. Oh, you're going to be fine. You have so much wisdom. You have so much. You have street creds. You have street knowledge. You're good. Like you can take care of it. You're a smart kid. You have straight A's. Or like, oh, you're a really good person. Don't worry. Don't worry about that. Like it's still, that's an invitation from yourself. That's an invitation from your pride, from your ego. Or you can rest in people. Oh, this person always has my back. This person. Like, it's good to have those people in life, but guess what? People will still fail. They're not Jesus. There'll be a time where they might not be there for you. And we can't hold it against them because we can't always be there for someone. But Jesus is always there for us. And our true rest should be found in Him. Resting in whatever the world offers. We talked about this. It could be drugs, it could be porn, it could be alcohol. And the more we get deceived, the worse the things get. Sin is saying, come, do this, and you'll find satisfaction, you'll find rest, you'll find relief, you'll find a worry-free life. But that is not true. That leads to death. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. See, the context in this chapter is about submitting to people, submitting to elders, and submitting to God. And it tells the elders not to be controlling over people, but examples. Your submission is an example to someone, and submitting and not controlling someone. Have you ever been in leadership? If you haven't been in leadership, you'll learn this when you get into leadership. You cannot control people. You can try to control people, and guess what? That's fear, and people are not going to like you. You're gonna some dictator over there. But by being an example, have you noticed when a leader is doing it themselves and being an example, it's so much easier to listen? Because you see that what they're saying, they actually practice, right? And right here, Peter is talking about, he's saying, submit under His hand. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Submit under God. What does that mean? The hand represents authority. Submit under God's mighty authority. What is His authority? How do we know His authority? His authority is seen in the Word of God. His authority is seen in who He is, right? Submitting under what He does with His hand, based on who He is. Submitting under the thing that He is a healing God. Submitting under that He is a holy God. Submitting under that He is a worthy God. And He raises us up from the things we need to be raised up from when we submit, when we rest under His hand. What does rest mean? We simply come under His hand. We come and say, God, this is Your word. I don't want to rest under anything else. I don't want to rest in my own hands. I want to rest in Your hands. So when you rest in a bed, guess what? You're not trying to control yourself to stay on the bed, are you? Oh, I need to stay on the bed. You're pressing against yourself. No, when you rest, you just lay down and you're relaxed, right? You're like, this bed is comfy. I'm relaxing. The same thing. When we rest with God, we're just like, God, I'm resting You in You as a son. God, I submit that You are holy. You're just agreeing with God. You're not trying to fight it. You just agree with Him. When you are prideful, you're fighting against God. Because it says God opposes the prideful. God opposes the proud. That's what it says. God opposes the proud. Opposition means you're going against. You're opposing it. Pride makes you fight. But humbleness, resting and agreeing with who He is, makes you hey, I'm just, I'm so happy. I'm so happy, right? This is what I've experienced, at least. Humility is knowing our position before Him and being surrendered and dependent on Him. We start to think of Him more than ourselves. We start to think more. When we're not in rest, guess what? Most likely when we're worried and toilsome and heavy burden is because we're thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about, oh man, this is so hard, my situation. But when we start to think about how good He is, and we start to humble ourselves and say, God, whoa, I'm going to agree with who You are, we find rest in the midst of our troubles and the storm. Amen? So that's when we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The more self that decreases, the more He increases. The more we decrease, the more He increases. The more we let go of self, of our pride, the more we let go of self, the more we grab of Him. Our hands are able to receive from Him. When you're holding self on, it's hard to receive Him. It's hard to receive Him. When we stop pushing our plan and our agenda, God, this is my plan, bless it, in Jesus' name. This is my plan. This is my dream. Bless it. And have you asked if this is a dream from him? Have you asked if this is a plan from him? Amen? So James 4:6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, humility cures worldliness. Humility cures worldliness. What is worldliness? Everything outside of God, everything that opposes God. Humility, knowing, like, let going of yourself cures worldliness. It allows us to come to depend on him, to come as we are. How Lilia was sharing her testimony where Jesus is like, come follow me, and like, wait, let me first come follow me. That's an invitation. To come follow him. Come to me, all who are weary. That's an invitation. And you know, the guy was like, well, let me go first bury my father. Right? And oftentimes we're like, God, I'm so tired. But wait, let me go here first and see if that makes me feel better. Then I'll come to you when it, like, I know nothing will make me better. And sometimes that's, in life, I've seen so many testimonies where people like, I've tried everything. And at the end of the day, God is the only one who is able to. Able to give me rest, right? But he wants us to come to him when we're already broken, when we're already messed up, to come as we are, because we understand that we ourselves cannot fix our problems. People who think I need to fix myself before I come to God, you won't fix yourself before you come to God. You need to go to God to get fixed, amen? Saying, God, I'm struggling, like being honest with God. Those prayers, the most honest prayers are some of the most life-changing prayers. God, I'm struggling. I don't got it all together. I need you. Repenting of our old ways of sinning and our thinking patterns. Turning away from them and turning to God. Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of what? Refreshing. It says refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. When we come to him, refreshing comes from his presence. When we're like, God, I turn away from my sin. I turn away from my thinking patterns of anxiousness and worry. And I go to you, God. Times of refreshment come from his presence. And that he may send the Christ appointed for you. When you come, Jesus comes. He already invited us. It's something he initiated. He says, come to me and I will come to you. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. We can try to look like we have everything together, but inside we feel tired, frustrated, or worried. We can strive and say, if I do this, if I do that, I will be okay. But he's like, I'm your father. Don't you know that I want to take care of you, daughter or son? Come into my arms. Let me remind you of who I am and who you are. And he gives grace, which is undeserved favor. He helps us in our weakness, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. Hebrews 4 talks about us striving, but not just striving, striving to enter rest. That's the thing you can strive for, is to enter his rest. And what is this striving? This striving is just saying, answering yes to the invitation. God, I will obey you. The Israelites did not enter the promised land, the land of rest where milk and honey flowed. They didn't enter it. You know why? Because they didn't obey God. When God said, go, when the invitation was there, I will go with you guys, they didn't go. They disobeyed. See, we should strive to disobey, but when we strive to come to him, it becomes rest. And obedience becomes something part of our nature. We make an effort to enter his rest. We make an effort to come before the Lord. And I'm not talking about like this is a one-time thing. Like we constantly have to come to God. We constantly have to come. It says that the Israelites did not enter rest. They did not enter the promised land because of disobedience. Entering his rest has to do with us obeying and submitting under him. Submitting under his word, under his will, under his thoughts, and under what he has already done. Matthew 11:28. Again, we come back to this. Come to me. Come to me. And this word was on my heart because oftentimes I feel like a lot of people are like, man, I'm so busy. I'm so tired. I have so many concerns. Like, bro, I don't have a good relationship with this. I don't have a good relationship with that. Like, and in the midst of that, Jesus is just like, come to me so you can get rest. Come to me. Like, God doesn't want you to be heavy burden. He doesn't. That's not his will for you. He doesn't want you to be weary, toilsome. He doesn't want you to have anxiety. That's not who he is. He wants to give us rest. And it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we are left with this invitation, with this word, come. Jesus today is inviting us to come. Will we turn away from things to come to him? If you come to him, you're not coming to something else. You can't come to two things. If you get invited to two events, guess what? You have to choose one of them. You can't go to both of them if they're at the same time. Right? And when we choose to come to God, we're choosing not to come to something else. We're choosing not to come to sin. We're choosing not to come to our self-righteousness. We choose to come to God. And when I say come, I mean daily. I mean in the morning when you're like, you wake up, and I was listening to this preacher, and I like respect this preacher a lot, and I'm like, wow, he lives in the presence of God daily. And he's like, you know, sometimes I wake up and I'm like, this day is already gonna suck. Like, have you ever woken up with that? Like, you wake up and you're already in a bad attitude. You're already like, don't talk to me. I don't want cereal. Give me my pancakes. Don't talk. Yeah, you're like already, you're like, my day is not going well. But look, when you wake up, just remember this. Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me. Turn your eyes on me. Turn your adoration. Turn your attention. And he says, and when he wakes up in the morning, when he feels like that, he's just like, Lord, I thank you for today. And he starts thanking God. He starts to turn his attention. And guess what? His whole day begins differently because he came to Jesus. And he received the rest for his soul. That's an invitation for us daily. Making and coming even in devotions, guys. I can't stress how much devotions is important. Making ourselves aware of him and coming to him with our weariness and our heavy burdens. The promise in this verse is rest. If you come to me, I will give you rest. That's his promise. And by obeying that invitation, by accepting that invitation and humbling ourselves under him to come, is the way we enter his rest, turning our eyes upon Jesus. We're going to, at the end of this, we're going to listen to a song and we're just going to sit. And I just want us to be still before the Lord. I want us to present our heart with all our concerns, all our weariness, all our worries, okay? And I love how in this song, he is the shepherd of our soul. The shepherd. What does this mean? You guys know Psalms 23, right? You are my good, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does I shall not want? I lack nothing. Your soul will lack nothing. When you recognize him as a shepherd and when you allow him to shepherd your soul, you lack no good thing. And he leads you beside still waters and green pastures. Green pastures, that like for a sheep, that's like heaven. Green pastures, look at all that grass. Oh, look at that still water. No alligator's going to get me here. Right? He gives peace to us. As he shepherds us, he leads our souls in beside still waters into his presence and into green pastures where we have more than enough, where we can rest in him, where he leads us. Take my yoke and learn. See, the yoke is being led by the Spirit. Because a yoke, if you guys know, an oxen, they put a yoke to keep them like going in one place, to be able to control them, right? But he says, take my yoke. That means Take the yoke of my grace, of the Holy Spirit. Take the Holy Spirit. Let that lead you. Let that control you. And learn to be led by that. Learn to be led by who I am, by the Holy Spirit. And learn from me, because I am of the example of resting in the Father, in obedience, gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. He says you will find rest when you learn to do that. Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he rested in the Father because the Father said who he was, and he only did what the Father said, and he only did what the Father he saw the Father do. That he rested. Jesus is an example of rest. And when we rest in when we obey, we're resting in him. When we obey, we're resting with him. So I'm just going to play this song, and let's just bow our heads right now. And I want us just to present our hearts before the Lord. Because if we learn to rest in him, I'm saying your life is going to become so much better. You're going to be able to just have better days. You're going to be able to love people more. You're going to be able to love Jesus more rightly. So Lord, we just come to you right now. We answer, God, that invitation that you invite us to, God. We answer it, Lord. We answer it, God. And we surrender everything. We humble ourselves before you, God. We surrender everything. And we rest in you, Jesus. We rest in you, God. I ask that we would be able to learn to come to you, God, to receive your rest. We would not come to other things, God, but we would come to you, God, when we're weary, when we're burdened, God, that we'd be able to depend on you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.